The Institute of Child Nutrition is proud to present iBites. Here you will learn about all aspects of child nutrition programs, from research to resources, from oral histories to best practices. Each iBites episode features a wealth of information to help promote the continuous improvement of child nutrition programs. I'm Dr. LaWanda Morse, the Associate Director of Grants at the Institute of Child Nutrition, and I will be your host.
Hello and welcome to another episode of ICN's iBites. We are thrilled that you've stopped by to join us for another great episode. We're in the midst of a series on the Child and Adult Care Food Program, also known as CACFP. We have taken a couple of months break during the COVID-19 pandemic and just felt like it was time to kind of get restarted and get some information out there for all of our great listeners. And so today I've got some great staff members who are on my team at ICN and work in the Education and Training Division. So I'm gonna give them an opportunity to introduce themselves, and then we're gonna get off and going with our topic, which I'll keep a surprise until after they've introduced themselves. So Heather, you're at the top of my screen. Tell us who you are and what you do at ICN.
Sure thing. Hello, I'm Heather Burkett, and I'm an Education and Training Specialist at the Institute. I'm glad to be here.
Thanks, Heather, for joining us. Lutina, you're next on my screen.
Hi, my name is Lutina Cochran, and I'm also an Education and Training Specialist.
Thank you, Lutina. Deborah?
My name is Deborah Winans, and I'm an Education and Training Specialist as well.
Hi, Deborah. Thank you for joining us as well. And I should mention that I keep saying on my screen, typically we record our podcasts in my office at ICN on the Ole Miss campus, but we are all working remotely right now. So we're across the nation. Deborah's on one coast and we're down in the south. And so just thank you ladies for taking time out of your schedule to join me today. As we talk about pursuing professional development in a pandemic, you know, a lot of people are struggling with so many different facets of the pandemic, but because people right now, a lot of them are working from home or are in different situations, we thought it would be a good opportunity to discuss professional development. You know, during this time of uncertainty, a lot of people are at home or working from home. A lot of us may have more free time than usual, so it's a great time really to take advantage of professional development. And we thought we would kind of approach this topic kind of in a threefold manner. We're gonna start with the, what do you need? You know, people talk about professional development, but sometimes it's difficult to know where to start or where even they should, what kind of topics they should be looking at. And then after we identify some of the things that we should be focused on for professional development, we're going to talk about, well, where do you get it? And then last but not least, once you have it, now what do you do? So really that, what do you need, where do you get it, and what do you do with it? So ladies, how about we start with, what do you need? Well, during this time, not only of social distancing, is that an important topic for the pandemic, but we felt like that overall is a general topic that people are going to be dealing with for quite some time. So why or what specifically with social distancing should we be looking at?
I think really we need to focus on guidance for that, what that looks like for children, especially in a child care setting. And it's also important that we reassure children and we share information that's not overwhelming or scary. Children of all ages are very curious, and they may not fully understand what's going on in their communities. So it's important that we just build upon their natural resiliency and we empower them to make those good, healthy choices by encouraging them to properly wash their hands, eat nutritious food, stay physically active, and maybe use social distancing, the terminology, make it more kid-friendly and more user-friendly and make it into a game.
I think that's a great point. You know, sometimes we as adults become so accustomed to throwing these new terminologies around. And, you know, you think back even 3 months ago, social distancing was not really a key term that we used in our everyday lives, and now you use it multiple times a day. So hearing those new words can kind of be scary for some of our little kiddos, or even us bigger kiddos, but really making it more friendly when we talk about those types of things with our children. And I think a game is a great way to kind of introduce that. Sorry, Deborah, were you going to speak? Go ahead.
I was going to say that just because things are going on, don't get afraid. A lot of times people have to get the continuing ed or the credit hours to stay current and to, it may be for licensure or whatever. But a lot of times some of the companies are extending the time period for them to be able to get all of that done because they know what's going on with the pandemic. So I would call, you know, and don't just not do anything, but there may be some extra time involved.
That's a great point. You know, our schedules and our lives have been turned a little bit upside down for some of us, and how we're accustomed to getting those training hours. A lot of things have been changed. I know you're an RD, Deborah, and you typically go to a conference to get your continuing ed hours. And So knowing that expiration of that training requirement has been extended, I think really is important. Yeah.
So the conference has been canceled, but they have extended the time that you can get your hours. So there are other, you know, other ways, online courses that you can take and different things you can do. You just can't go to the conference. And the conference was wonderful because you could get a plethora of hours.
Well, I think, and you bring up a good point, Deborah, you know, really staying on top of the changes and things that are going on, updates, whether it be of guidance or regulations, even as far as going into what actions and advocacy opportunities there are in response to the pandemic, would be something that you could do for professional development purposes. Do y'all have any ideas, ladies, about things that we should kind of be on the lookout for in that arena?
So there are actually quite a few opportunities out there in terms of advocacy, and there are quite a few national associations that provide information on these particular tools, in particular financial hardships, because I know that several childcare facilities are closed, while there are quite a few that are open, and also just other CACFP operations as well. One in particular is Childcare Aware. They list quite a bit of information on providing resources and tools for maintaining during COVID-19 that focus on financial hardship. I know that your local bank, your small business association, all of these particular organizations may have resources and tools that can help just in terms with maintaining during a pandemic of such. So it's definitely something that's worthy of, you know, looking into, freshen up on your current knowledge and any new skills that you may need to take advantage of those advocacy opportunities.
That's a great point, Latina. And I think, you know, the pandemic has put a lot of small businesses, small care centers, and probably even larger care centers in situations that they've never been in before, whether it be dealing with reduced enrollment, fluctuations in staff, you know, and these are all things that they need to know how to handle. And that's kind of what professional development is about. You know, sometimes we think professional development being, oh, well, I've got to learn some new skill or I've got to brush up on a skill. But professional development really is finding out, and this is a LaWanda definition, maybe I should put that disclaimer out there, but professional development really is gaining the knowledge and skills to be better at what you do.
Absolutely.
And I think that's where this advocacy piece really comes into play. We all, not even just in the business realm, have been faced with so many new experiences over the last 2 or 3 months. You know, we were just kind of thrown into it, for lack of a better term, and have kind of had to adapt on the fly. Because of that, I think it is really change the way a lot of child care providers has had to look at their training plan for the year. Is there anything when it comes to what they need that they should really be incorporating into those plans?
I'd like to build back on the advocacy thing. Not only should you be advocating for your own career, your own professional path, but you should also advocate for the children and family that are in your care. Child and family that you provide for, they all have different needs, and it's very important that you be sensitive to those needs so that you can advocate for those who maybe don't really know what is important, because a parent is their child's best advocate, but our goal is to make sure that we are advocating and we're doing what's best for the children that we serve. So not only should we advocate for ourselves professionally, but also keep in mind that everything that we do is for the benefit of the children and the family we serve. But we need to focus on employee education, train staff to perform morning well checks with each of their children, proper sanitation, hand washing, cleaning, and again, just being sensitive to the different needs of the children and families that are in our care, because it's not all about us. There's a reason why we do what we do, and we do it because we have a heart for the children. So just making sure that they're the main focus will go really far in just preparing yourself and your staff for the special guidance that's needed, especially for trying to maintain social distancing while also having a kind and caring and compassionate center. You know, it's hard to social distance from a toddler or a baby. So just finding ways to do it in a developmentally appropriate way.
I think that's a valid point. And maybe even if we could kind of come back to that to a degree when we get to the where do you get it section, because not only is it important for us to identify and be aware of the needs of those that we serve, but to be able to offer to them, if you have a family that, let's say, is facing a financial crisis, no, and I'm not laughing, it's just that would be one of the issues, how I guess sad that is, that's now something we have to deal with, but how we can provide resources for them. So I think that topic in particular, Heather, is going to be one that we see run across each of those three folds that we look at today. You know, and I had mentioned before you said that about the training plan, almost thinking about how would that piece fit into that training plan. Could y'all speak a little bit about what that training plan might look like? What is that intended? How could we incorporate that into our professional development plan? What is that training plan meant to do?
Well, I think with any type of training plan, you can be as broad or as specific as you want it to be. Essentially, identifying those areas that you may need more information, or identifying those components that you want to have ongoing training. So essentially just identifying where you are today and where you would like to be, and the areas in which you would need additional training. And so just speaking from a advocacy component and focusing on the needs of the children, especially in this particular pandemic, looking at how can you keep kids, you know, safe and healthy in your particular childcare setting. But not only that, what resources and tools can you incorporate in that plan to make sure that your staff or yourself is properly trained to just overall manage the pandemic and just manage the overall childcare facility. Here at the Institute, we have something called Competencies, Knowledge, and Skills for CACFP, and it speaks to the dynamics of operating the program, and it features functional areas that everyone should know when they enter a child care or CACFP operation, primarily a child care setting, as well as it features some advanced information. And so that particular tool can easily be used as a method for identifying some type of training plan, But you can also go out and look at the resources on the CDC's website that speak specifically to the pandemic or COVID-19 and identify those areas that you may feel like you're not confident in or strong in, and use that as a driving force to identify what resources or what tools you need to include in your training plan. So I guess to summarize all of that, it's just more so identifying exactly what you need to be successful will be ultimately the goal for identifying your training plan.
And I think I heard you mean to say that it is free to everybody who would like to use it. I think that is a key thing to point out.
Absolutely. Anything that's on our website in terms of all of our resources are for free and easy download. And I would like to say that as you're developing your training plan or just using our resources in general, if there's something that you can't find, definitely shoot us an email at helpdesk@vicn.org. And we will be glad to help you navigate the website to find that resource.
I think it's important while you mentioned the help desk, Latina, you know, we just mentioned at the start of our episode that we're all telecommuting or working remotely. We are still monitoring that help desk. So even if you send an email or if you happen to call into our 800 help desk, which that number is 1-800-321-3054, that number is being monitored, so I would encourage you to reach out if you do have questions. We don't have somebody who will be a live person answering that line right now because we are all out away from the office, but we are regularly checking that line. So I think that's a great point, Lieutenant. You know, one piece that I don't think we can forget before we move into the where do you get it is the self-care bit. I don't think we can overlook, you know, it is important to take care of the families and the children that we serve, as well as your staff, but we can't forget ourselves. You know, it's because of the quarantine, it's been kind of a time where we're all faced with unique and interesting situations, and sometimes we're put in situations that we don't always know how to deal with. Are there particular things within the self-care arena that we should be kind of thinking about when it comes to professional development?
Would you combine a vacation with learning? I'm going to a conference, but I'm taking my swimsuit.
I love it. You know, that's the great thing about things like podcasts and webinars and online learning. And those are things that you can get at ICN. And we're going to talk when we get to the where do you get it section, tons of other places. Those are things that you can do when you're, you know, sitting in a swimming pool, or if you're socially isolating out on a lake or wherever you might, in your car, you know, those are things that you can do for professional development.
I would just recommend that people take breaks when they're feeling overwhelmed. Seek out advice from mentors or a seasoned professional. Switch tasks if you feel like that you aren't being productive. Call a friend or family member. Share the highlights of your day. I would also say that limit your time on social media or watching the news because it can be overwhelming. It's easy to get caught up in news overload, and it's very important that you check your sources and make sure that you're receiving factual information. Knowing that you aren't alone is so important, and just reminding ourselves that we're all in this together and that it's not always going to be like this. There's an end in sight.
I agree, Heather, especially the part to if you need to talk to someone or see someone, you know, do that instead of things going around in your mind and, you know, go talk.
You're exactly right, Deborah. You know, I think now more than ever, especially with the social distancing, it's easy to think you're the only one in your situation or that's going through, whether it be a personal issue or a work-related issue, really reaching out to others in your area or others near you who can kind of lead you and guide you. And that's kind of what we were talking about earlier when we were talking about those advocacy pieces and the training plan, all of the what do you needs really address that reaching out to people when you need help. And part of professional development is getting that help you need. So let's talk a little bit further about that, ladies. And now that we've identified some of those areas of things that we may need for professional development, where in the world do we find it? We've mentioned ICN. So let's talk about some of the other places that we can go for professional development. I'm assuming you all have some great suggestions.
I think the one great place to start out with is national associations or your conference groups. I think many of them will speak to the target audience. Say, for example, if you're primarily a child care center, there is the National Association for the Education of Young Children, which they also speak to family child care as well. But reaching out and looking at those national conferences and their websites, they tend to have quite a bit of professional development information that is typically easily and readily and available for access. Just speaking to NACI, they have a wealth of information on coping with COVID-19 in terms of operating a childcare facility. They have an actual web page that compiles all of their online resources that's specifically from NACI. And just they also feature other national and educational organization resources, of course, like the American Academy of Pediatrics is featured on their website. So definitely checking out some of your national association and conference websites for professional development as well.
You mentioned national. One of the ones that come to my mind, I'm a big Twitterer, and the CDC, which is the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, I believe is the last part of that title, have tons of great resources that are out there. And they're not always big, full-length classes that you have to sit through. You know, they put out social media posts daily on Twitter and on Facebook, just short things about how to appropriately social distance, or how to make sure you're washing your hands correctly, or how to appropriately wear a mask. I'll tell you a funny story. I was out and about to the pharmacy yesterday and saw these two, I won't stereotype and say college kids, but they were younger adults, and they had a mask on. So we'll start with that being a good thing. But they had the top of the mask was down below their nose, and the bottom of the mask was like midway of their mouth. So really all they were covering was the top portion of their lip. I've watched these short videos, like I said, from CDC, and they show you there's a great animation of how to appropriately wear a mask. And I just think there's, because this is such a new area for so many people having to wear those masks when we're out in public, for instance, that the places, whether it be the CDC or your National Association for the Education of Young Children or ICN or wherever you're looking, finding those quick tips that you can get more information, I think is so important.
I would also,
go ahead, Heather, I'm sorry.
I apologize. I would also look into enrolling in a continuing education program for those educators who aren't pursuing an advanced degree but still want to maybe obtain some continuing education credits. There's quite a few number of universities that are offering non-certificate courses that can fulfill that need. Even our own University of Mississippi is offering free professional development hours, and they're allowing up to 9 months to complete those courses from the day that you register. So there's all kinds of unique opportunities and time flexibilities that allow professionals to complete a course assignment at their own pace. And it's just a great way to continue to make good use of your time and also to pursue professional development.
I think that's a great point, Heather. Another community wide thing that you might look into. I know here in Lafayette County where we're located, our local library, if you have a library card, You can get it activated online for free, and then you can borrow books electronically at no cost. My mother-in-law is a voracious reader. Like, she would spend her entire pension at Books A Million or Barnes & Noble or Amazon if we would let her, or if she so chose. Just loves to read. But, you know, now that she can't go out and shop, trying to find those places where we can get online and find books. And I think books are a great resource that sometimes we forget about from a professional development standpoint. Are there any other areas or things that we should be thinking about for where we can get professional development? Are there other non-national conference or association groups that we haven't mentioned, ladies?
Yeah, I would definitely chime in to say state and local government agencies. With USDA's Team Nutrition Resources, they provide quite a bit of information in sense of just resources, not only just for COVID-19, but they just have an array of just different tips, tools, resources, recipes, just a variety of different professional development resources that are available. I would also add to that your state agency. So each state agency tends to provide a variety of different types of training. In the past, of course, many provided face-to-face and online, but in this particular climate, many are shifting to online. And so definitely check out the state agency's website to see what resources they have in terms of meeting your professional development needs. And then there are other state supported agencies such as your resource and referral agencies, which is tend to be targeted specifically for child care licensing purposes and in a sense for professional development. So if your state has a resource and referral agency, I will look into them just to see what they may have available in terms of meeting professional development as well.
One thing I thought of too, Lutina, while you were speaking of that is, you know, I have two younger children. My girls are in high school, and their entire school district shifted to an online format this semester. And so because of that, a lot of teachers are putting educational opportunities online now that are available for everybody. So it would be a great time to research, you know, classroom management techniques or active learning activities or things like that. Even if you're looking for things to do, I'm thinking from a parent perspective, looking for things to do with your kiddos at home, there's so much available right now online. I would say more now than ever before, because so many teachers did have to make that shift mid-semester with their learning. So definitely check those out. And even local community colleges, Heather, you mentioned universities, but I think a lot of local community colleges will sometimes offer CEU opportunities that can be completed over a time period, you know, kind of at your own pace. So they're not actually designed for college credit, but do provide certificates for completion that can be used. All right, so I think we did a good job covering where we can get it. Now the biggest question, and those of you who know me probably get tired of hearing me say this, but there's an author, his name is Todd Whitaker, and he talks about the two most important meetings you have when it comes in terms of professional development is the meeting you have before the professional development and the meeting you have after. So right now we're going to talk about the after. So now that we've got the professional development, what do we do with it? We've learned all this great stuff. We've gone out and researched. We've read and we've listened. Now what?
You want to create an action plan. So from the beginning, we said that we wanted to create some type of training plan that will basically drive what resources that you should pursue in terms of professional development. Once you have the information, you want to create some type of action plan with timely goals that will identify exactly how you're going to use the information. And the reason why it's so important is because sometimes you can go to a great training, but if you don't have a plan in place of how you're going to use the information, you may only retain anywhere from 10 to 20% of the training's content. So developing an action plan that basically identifies, you know, what did you learn, how you're going to apply it, and then adding some type of date to that will help to basically retain more of the information that you learned from that professional development sector. But not only that, position you to actually be able to apply what you learned.
You're exactly right. You know, how many times have we been to a, we've been in quarantine for 2 months now, so we haven't been anywhere. But in the past, when we would attend a professional development opportunity, we bring that binder back and we put it up on the shelf, and a year later, there it sits and we didn't do anything with it. I think it's really important as part of that plan to think about, too, how you can share that opportunity or what you've learned with other people. You know, Deborah mentioned earlier, reaching out to people when you feel like you need to talk. What a great way to incorporate the professional development in that. You know, you're checking on your friend. Hey, Lutina, how are you doing today? And after you talk about, you know, what you had, what you cooked great over the past week. Oh, and by the way, I read this awesome book I think you would like. You know, share it with your friends and coworkers.
I agree. It's important to recruit others to pursue professional development, and also encouraging one another and holding each other accountable for excellence. If you know, if we know to do the right thing and yet we still don't do it, it's really not useful at all. So holding each other accountable is important for everyone. It's a good teamwork mentality.
There's actually a website. I don't know if y'all have ever used it or not. It's called, the name just escaped me. Goodreads, I believe, is the name of it. And you can keep a catalog of the books you've read. And if you choose to share when you read a book with the people that follow you, so it does have that social media aspect, it is that accountability piece. They can actually see, well, LaWanda started reading How to Deal with Difficult Teachers on Monday, March the 25th. Well, it's now December and she's still on page 10, you know, hey, LaWanda, how's that book going? Or vice versa, you know, Lutina sees that I'm reading this great book. She thinks, oh, that looks like that might be a great book. She starts reading it. Deborah then sees that Lutina is reading it. So, you know, finding those ways to use technology even to hold each other accountable.
You know, you can, what we've done, we have, it's not a book club, but the three of us here read the same book at the same time. So nobody wants to hear the ending. So everybody tries to get through.
Absolutely. That is such a great way to share and encourage each other. You know, a lot of times we think, and I'll use book club as an example, Deborah, read a book together and share out. And we think, oh, we're social distancing, so we can't hang out. But there's so much, like we're doing this now through Zoom. I think Google now has their own version of virtual hanging out. Facebook has their own way to hang out. There's so many ways to extend that professional development opportunity and share those ideas with each other. That there's not many excuses these days for why you can't share professional development or grow professionally, even when we are in the midst of a pandemic. I think we've covered a tremendous amount of information today, ladies. You know, we started with really looking at what is it that we need when it comes to professional development. We shared with our listeners some great places to get professional development. I want to loop back to that area for just a second, and I want to give a few props to our ICN coworkers for all of the great resources that we've put out there recently. If y'all could just take a few minutes and just kind of share some of the resources that, that ICN has that, that might would be of benefit at this point in the world of CACFP. What are some of those free resources that they can access? You know, because we do have an e-learning portal where they can take those online courses and can come back at any point in time and finish. We do have virtual instructor-led trainings. That's kind of the transition we've made from face-to-face trainings right now. We do have webinars. We do have podcasts. We do have fact sheets and tip sheets and mini posters, all that you can download for free. Could y'all kind of maybe elaborate on some of the topics that we have covered?
Well, I actually was going to weigh in on the video instructor-led trainings, but just want to highlight that, and because that is such an important area right now, especially with, you know, still having a need to pursue professional development and still having a need to meet those training requirements each year. So just taking advantage of the video instructor-led trainings, we're focusing on food safety-related topics. And then not only that, just taking advantage of many of our online courses that they feature meal pattern. They also go into food safety as well. But and not only that, creating nutritious meals and so forth. So there's just a variety of different topics and categories of information. So definitely check out the website. And again, I think I've mentioned this earlier. If you can't find what you're looking for, shoot us a quick email and we'll be glad to walk you through the process.
I'd like to speak to that, Lutina. I think one of the cool things about reaching out to those people at ICN, you know, a lot of times when you send in a contact us email to most, I won't say most, some places, you never know who's going to be on the receiving end of that email. Well, I can tell you that the people that you're talking to or listening to today are the people that you're reaching out to. So when we get those emails through help desk, or when you send in a contact us email at ICN, you are sending it to a live person who is going to respond to it. So when Lutina says, if you run across something that you need help with to reach out, you can rest assured that, that you're going to get an answer. It may not be that day. It may be in a couple of days, but you are going to get an answer. And I think that's important to know, especially when it comes to making sure you're meeting your professional development needs. Well, ladies, we have covered, like I said, tons of information today. Do y'all have anything else you would like to share before we wrap it up?
Just, I guess the only thing that I would want to say prior to wrapping it up is just to let everyone that's hearing this podcast today know that ICN is in full support of you and we are rooting for you. And if there's anything that we can help you do in this particular time, we are definitely here and readily available to assist you.
I was going to piggyback off that and just say, stay safe and stay positive.
I'll say I agree.
Very good. Well, on behalf of the four of us and the rest of us here at ICN, we do salute you all on what you are doing. We wish you all health and safety today and in the upcoming days. And if we at ICN can help you at all, please don't hesitate to reach out. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast today. Be sure and check out this and all of our other episodes. If you are so inclined, we would love for you to stop by iTunes or wherever you happen to get your podcast and give us a positive review. The more positive reviews we can get, the more we trend, the more word we get out there that we're available. So thanks for listening. And until next time,
tune in next month for more iBites. And until then, remember, there's nothing more important than the health and well-being of our nation's children. This project has been funded at least in part with federal funds from the U.S. Department of Agriculture Food and Nutrition Service through an agreement with the Institute of Child Nutrition at the University of Mississippi. The contents of this publication do not necessarily reflect the views or policies of the U.S. Department of Agriculture, nor does mention of trade names, commercial products, or organizations imply endorsement by the U.S. government. The University of Mississippi is an EEOAA Title VI, Title IX, Section 504, ADA, ADEA employer. In accordance with federal law and U.S. Department of Agriculture policy, this institution is prohibited from discriminating on the basis of race, color, national origin, sex, age, or disability. To file a complaint of discrimination, write USDA Director, Office of Civil Rights, Room 326W, Whitten Building, 1400 Independence Avenue, Southwest, Washington, D.C., 202-50-9410, or call 202-720-5964. USDA is an equal opportunity provider and employer.